I tried to pull up some famous people and their giving. J.L. Kraft, the head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, who had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years, said, "The only investment I ever made which paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I had given to the Lord." J.D. Rockefeller, he said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. J.C. Penney, at the end of his life, it was said that he was giving away to Christian causes 90% of his money and lived on 10%. Now, if you were J.C. Penney, I'm sure that 10% was a whole lot to live on. So, I would have liked to have lived on his 10%. All right. And then S. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, said, "My wife and I were brought up to believe that the more you give, the more you have."
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Dr. Glaze's study today is titled Stewardship, Treasure. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Stewardship, Treasure.
All right, we've been dealing with stewardship, and we said that a steward is one who has been entrusted with the possessions of another. And God has given us all time, talent, and treasure that he has entrusted us with these things, and he wants us to be stewards over the things that he has given us. Now, we come to this third topic in the three T's, and that is treasure. And as we begin, I wanted to lay some groundwork before we actually get into the scriptures and get into the message today. And the first thing that I want to say is that there are three money mindsets. Three money mindsets. You know, there's the worldly mindset that says, all that I have belongs to me, and I can do whatever I want to do with it. That's the worldly mindset. And then we move to the church mindset. And the church mindset, or what preachers preach, is that God gets 10% and I get 90%. So that's the church mindset. But when you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and you realize that you are in the kingdom of God, that you have a kingdom mindset. And what is the kingdom mindset? The kingdom mindset is that it all belongs to God. Oh, that was kind of weak there. All right. That it all belongs to God, and I am a steward. I am a manager of what God has given to me. You know, I heard about a man who had a heart attack, and he was rushed to the hospital, and he could receive very little company so that he would not get excited. And so while he was in the hospital, a rich uncle died and left him $1 million. But they didn't know how to break the news to him because they thought that if they told him and he got excited that, you know, it would affect his health. So they asked the preacher if he would go and share the news with the man in the hospital. So the preacher went in, and he kind of gradually led up to the conversation, did some warm-up conversation. And then the preacher said, if you had $1 million, what do you think that you would do with it? And the man said, I would give half of it to the church. And the preacher had a heart attack. All right. Money mindset. Now, one of the things that I've been preaching for the longest time, and that is, if God has your heart, he has your pocketbook. So, you know, that's why, you know, I know I've received a lot of criticism for this. And the thing is, I'm going to tell you what, before I got saved, you know, I probably had a dim view of preachers, like a lot of brothers do that are not in the church. And one of the things that they think, now I'm just going to be honest with you. Can we talk this morning? That there's some brothers, they think that preachers are pimps, right? Now, come on, I'm being real. They think that preachers are pimps, and I'm not giving my money, you know, to that church, you know, to that preacher, you know. And so, you know, that I guess coming out of that background for me, you know, that has, and maybe that's something I need to pray over and get through, because, you know, a lot of preachers unashamedly, you know, twist people's arms and beat them up. And I guess a little bit in my spirit, you know, goes back to just that kind of thing that I was dealing with, you know, in my past. And then a lot of times when I hear brothers talking about it now, because I get it, you know, people still tell me that. You know, one of the things that I like to do on Mondays when I'm off is, you know, go work out, and then I'll sit in the sauna. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting conversations that go on in that sauna, I'm going to tell you what. And, you know, I there's been a couple times when that very conversation has arisen, and I've heard that, and it kind of takes me back, you know, to that mindset. And so, you know, I don't try to beat people up and try to twist people's arms to give, because the bottom line, if God got your heart, He got your pocketbook. You know, I mean, that's it. And, you know, Paul made the following comment about some who had given liberally to the ministry in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. He says this: they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. He said that when they gave, that it wasn't a matter of, you know, coercion, it wasn't a matter of the beat down, but he said that these individuals had their heart sensitized to the Lord, and they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave to us. And if you've given yourself to the Lord, at that point, you know, your heart, your mind, your pocketbook is all yielded to Him. And then I like what Augustine said, where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Where your heart is, there is your happiness. So it's all connected. And so the bottom line is that if God has your heart, then He has your pocketbook. So I personally don't argue with God about giving. You know, I don't try to finagle or work my way out of giving. You know, I realize that God has my heart. And, you know, there's something that I'm going to say now. I'm probably going to say a little later on in the message too. But when you think about this great salvation that we have, when you think about the fact that I was lost and undone without God or His Son, and, man, I'm going to argue with God about whether I'm going to give to Him or not. So, you know, I settled that, you know, a long time ago. Jesus and money. In Mark, Matthew, and Luke, one out of every six verses deals with money. One out of every six verses deals with money. Of the 29 parables that Christ told, 16 dealt with a person and his money. Why is that? Because Jesus, like when He talked to the rich young ruler, what did He realize? He realized it's not in what you say, but it's where your heart is at. And so the man had a struggle internally. And so I believe that's why Jesus placed so much emphasis on money, because He knew that it was a direct reflection of a person's heart. And then when you think about this, Jesus said more about money than he did about heaven, hell, or even prayer. He said more about money than he said about heaven, hell, or prayer. I tried to pull up some famous people and their giving. J.L. Kraft, the head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation, who had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes for many years, said, "The only investment I ever made which paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I had given to the Lord." J.D. Rockefeller, he said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 a week. J.C. Penney, at the end of his life, it was said that he was giving away to Christian causes 90% of his money and lived on 10%. Now, if you were J.C. Penney, I'm sure that 10% was a whole lot to live on. So, I would have liked to have lived on his 10%. All right. And then S. Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, said, "My wife and I were brought up to believe that the more you give, the more you have." So these are people that have been successful, who love the Lord, and how they have viewed giving. Now, let me give you a sad statistic. A sad statistic, and that is this: that the average church member contributes between 1.5% and 2.5% of his total income specifically to the Lord's work. So we know that that's not here at Bethany, because Bethany is a giving church. Yeah, amen, amen. That's, you know, y'all give. And, you know, we realize that our stewardship campaign, we've had a couple big gifts, a couple significant gifts, but most of the giving of that $1.3 million that we have committed, most of that has come from the Bethany family, the Bethany members. So, you know, we thank God that that Bethany is a giving church. We might be small in comparison to some of these mega churches, but, you know, God has blessed the members to be faithful in their giving. So, you know what, with that said, I don't even need to preach anymore. Let's just say amen and go home. Or somebody was there, I got an amen too, right? Somebody said, all right. All right. So before we get into the scripture this morning, let's look at the mindset. What is the mindset? Well, you know, again, we are dealing with stewardship. You know, what is the mindset of a faithful steward? Well, first of all, a faithful steward realizes that I'm a manager and not an owner. And see, if we can grasp that biblical truth, that would put us way down the road as far as everything that we have as a Christian. So not only the money, but, you know, even, you know, our time, our talent, that I'm just a manager. You know, what I have belongs to God. You know, God said in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they who dwell therein. And so this is the kingdom mindset. You know, the world don't think like this. And when we as believers begin to think like the world, and you know, it's easy to think like the world, because the world, again, says that it's all mine and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But when I'm a child of God and I realize that I've been purchased by his blood, I've been bought with a price, I belong to God, then I realize everything that I own belongs to him. And I'm just a manager and not an owner. The second thing is that I have to manage what I have responsibly. That God wants you to be wise stewards of what he has given you. So, you know, even if you realize that some people say, well, you know, I believe that I should tithe, give 10%, but the 90% belongs to me. And so they have the idea, well, you can do whatever you want to do, you know, with that 90%. But you still, even with that 90, if that's the philosophy that you take, even with that 90, you still have to be a wise money manager. You have to be exercise wisdom in how you use the resources that God has given to you. Where I spend my money is a reflection of where my heart is. All right, I've said here from this pulpit on many occasions, let me see two things about you, and I can tell you where your priorities are. Your date book and your checkbook. Because your date book will tell me where you're spending most of your time, and your checkbook will tell me where you're spending most of your money. So where I spend my money is a reflection of where my heart is at. Oh, here goes one right here. Oh, my goodness. Some people, not many people in here, but some people really need to grasp this one right here. And that is, money is my servant and not my master. That money serves me. But, you know, when I get to the point where, you know, I got to cheat and steal and rob and be greedy and hoard and do all that, I become a slave to money. And you need to ask yourself a question. Are you a slave to money? Does money drive you? Does money stand over you with a whip and drive you? Or is money your servant? Money serves me. See what I'm saying? You know, it serves me to be able to pay my bills. It serves me to be able to take a vacation. It serves me to be able to give to the charities and give to the organizations that I want to give. Money is a servant. And as I heard somebody say, money, you might want to write this down. I should have put this up on the screen. And that is, money is a cruel master, but it's a wonderful servant. It's a cruel master, but it's a wonderful servant. If I'm not faithful with the money that I have, God will not entrust me with more. That if you've been faithful in a few things, God said that he'll make you ruler over many. And then, as we talked about the very first Sunday, that you're going to have to give an account of your stewardship. That how you spend your money, you're going to have to give an account of it. So, four things this morning I want to share with you, and they're in your notes. Four things. They all begin with P. The first thing is the priority of my giving. The priority of my giving. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Notice what he says here. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and the first fruits of all thy increase. I've been doing a series on Wednesdays on the Feast of the Lord. And last Wednesday, we looked at the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits was very interesting because the Lord told the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and when they came into the land that they were to offer him the first fruits of their crops. So in the spring, after the winter, the first crop to begin to come up was the barley crop. And before all of the barley crop came up, the farmer would go and he would find some barley just like that. He would look for the first that was coming up and the best. That's what he would look for, the first and the best. And then he would gather it together. He would wrap a ribbon around it and he would cut it. And he would take it to the temple, just like there you go right there. That's a barley sheaf. You remember that old song we used to sing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Well, that's what that is right there. That's a sheaf. And so they would take it to the temple, and they would give it to the priest. And the priest, we go to the football games, right? And what do the people do in the state? I don't know if they do it anymore, but they used to do it, right? They would do the what? The wave, right? The wave, all right? So long before they did the wave in the football stadiums, the priest in the Old Testament did the wave. And this was called a wave offering. So he would take that sheaf and he would wave it to the Lord. And after he waved it to the Lord, then the farmer could go back and partake of the harvest. What a powerful principle. And so the writer of Proverbs says to honor the Lord with the first fruits. That means give the Lord your first and your best. And if you give the Lord your first and your best, then, oh, here's the promise. And so, you know, this really becomes real when we think about it in the agricultural context, because notice what he says here. He says, when you give the first fruits to the Lord, when you wave, when you take it to the priest, and the priest does the wave, because you've given the first, then you've given the best, then God said, when your harvest comes, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. And so what is this telling us here? This is telling us that giving must be a priority. You got to make it a priority. It can't be. Now, again, we're going to talk about how much to give, and, you know, that's a very controversial issue right there. But giving as a Christian, no matter how much it is, it has to be a priority. Because that's, you know, it's almost like cutting off your blessings when you don't make it a priority before the Lord. Yeah, I was reading a story about a young man who told his pastor that he promised God that he would tithe his income. And they prayed together, and God blessed this young man's career. At the time, he was making $40 an hour, so he gave $4 a week. In a few years, his income increased to $500 a week. And so he called the pastor to see if he could be released from his promise to tithe. And the pastor replied, I don't see how you can be released from your promise, but we can ask God to reduce your income to $40 a week. So, priority. It must be a priority. Secondly, must be a pleasure. Giving must be a pleasure. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. And this whole chapter is talking about giving. It says, every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. So, we see three things from this verse here. God does not love a sorrowful giver. Now, God loves everybody, all right? So let me say that. Somebody, I don't want anybody to walk out here saying, oh, God don't love. No, God loves everybody.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Stewardship Treasure. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Stewardship Treasure, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship Treasure. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Stewardship Treasure. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that will remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.